Revelation chapter 3. I had started on this piece of it last Sunday, and I thought, well, I'll move on from there. But I got to reading some of the scriptures I had in my notes, and I just hate to run over. I hate to leave off good scriptures. Amen. I just hate to leave them. So I'm going to give them to you this morning, and let it be a blessing. My heart really is heavy. I got to talk to Brother Wayne Dinwiddie and Brother Brandon. You know him. Yeah, he was there in this family, and they were talking about Brother Wayne had a sister that was there, and his sister's son went to a conservative fundamental Bible college, and it was while he was at this Bible college that he learned the art of astral projection. Now, let me explain what that is. It is a forbidden, it's part of what's in Deuteronomy 18, part of the 9 forbidden practices. There's things God said you're not doing. Turn the microphone on.
There. Part of those things that God said don't do. Don't get involved with familiar spirits. And astral projection involves being in contact with a familiar spirit. A spirit guides your thoughts. You can go literally anywhere that you want to go in the universe. If you want to go to Mars, you can go to Mars. If you want to go to China, you can go to China. You get the sensation of you leaving your body. And what I believe that is a familiar spirit guiding your conscience and as it goes and feeds back information to you. Well, he learned this from another student there, and I can kind of see how that happens, because when I was in Bible college, back in the 80s, I knew some guys that were doing some of these fantasy role-playing games like Dungeons and Dragons and things like that. And I tried to warn them back then. I said, guys, that stuff ain't right. And that's back before the days that computers really took over the gaming process. A lot of these games now are played online, or they're played electronically on Xboxes and PlayStations, things like that. But it's the same idea. You fantasy role play. You become a character. You can gain powers as a wizard. You can do all kinds of things through the computer. What they were doing it on board games, and I tried to warn these guys, you're playing. You're pretending to be the role of a wizard. And God said that He wouldn't have anything to do with that. God hates it. God despises that. And then, you know, then there was a couple of students that we just kind of, you know, you kind of get to know somebody, and you can see that they have feminine qualities to them. And then when you join Facebook 40 years later and you look them up, and sure enough, there they are. So anyway, her son in Bible college learn how to astral project, and when he got out of Bible college, he got in with a girl that was involved in Wicca, which is witchcraft. So they got together, and now he is a full-fledged, he believes in worshiping all these Nordic gods, Thor and Odin, and Loki, and all of these things in these Marvel comic books and movies and things like that. He worships these. And his mom asked him, do you still believe in God? He said, yeah, I still believe in God, but I don't believe He's the only God. He is a God among other gods. And what's happened, here he is, here's this boy. He's grown up in a fundamental Bible-believing church. went to a fundamental Bible-believing Bible college. I don't know if he graduated or not, but he's ended up being basically a warlock, a wizard. He has left the faith. He has turned his back on the word of God. That, what I have up on the screen, verse 11, "Behold, I come quickly." Who do you think he's saying that to? He's saying that to the people. Now, the people who are holding fast the word of God and holding fast the faith, Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." We say, "It ain't quick enough." Amen. But those who are out playing with sin do not know where they stand with God. That is a scary statement. It is a statement meant to inform them, when I come, you will probably not know it, and I will leave you here. "Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown," he said. Now I want us to go to, I know we did a lot of things here. Let's go to, let's see here. Where did I end up? Let's go to Titus chapter 1. Turn there. Titus chapter 1. I hate leaving meat on a chicken bone. Don't you? I hate leaving meat on a chicken bone, and I hate leaving leftover dough on a chicken bone. I want to get it all off of there. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Holding fast. Look at what he says here. Holding fast the faithful word. You know what that means? God's word is faithful. It means about a million things. It means if you need a big dose of faith real quick, open your Bible and get a big dose of it. God's word will give you faith in God's word. God's word will fill you with faith. It'll help you. It'll encourage you. It'll treat you right. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Had this young man really paid attention to the things he was taught in the Word of God and really taken them to heart, he could have been approached like I was. He could have been approached by just about anybody with anything, and he would have said, "Uh-uh, that God said don't do that. God said not have anything to do with that. Guys, I'm not going to be a part of that. I won't do it. If you do it, that's on your conscience, but I'm not going to have a part of it. I will not participate. You want me to play this game? You play it. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. You want to play around with this astral projection? You go ahead and do that. I'm staying away from that. God said don't have anything to do with familiar spirits. That's a familiar spirit, and I'm not going to have anything to do with it. If God said stay away from it, he meant it, and he meant it for my own good." But there's this idea out there that God is holding back information, secret knowledge from us that he won't give us. And that was really the first thing that Satan said when he ever started talking back in Genesis chapter 3, when he said, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened." And it's the idea that Satan has revealed to this world that God has a secret knowledge, a secret doctrine, a secret to power, eternal life, godhood. God has a secret to that he will not reveal to mankind, and Satan, the serpent, is the good guy that's going to reveal it to everybody. And that's what these guys end up believing. Guys and gals, this is what they end up believing. So he said, hold on to these things, that you'll be able to convince the gainsayers. Verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. especially they that are on the internet. Now, I added that in there. Thought I'd let you know. Especially they that are on the internet. Am I telling the truth? You watch out for what's on the internet. Do not believe everything that you see on there. Do not believe everything you read on there. Do not believe everything that everybody says. Oh, I was part of a secret meeting. There's a whistleblower now who's saying this, and he's coming out. He's revealing the real secret stuff. Do not fall for that stuff. If you want to know what is going to happen in the future, open your Bible and start reading, and God will tell you what is going to happen in the future. It is a sure word of prophecy. Somebody say amen. Now let me read the verse right. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. He's talking about the Jews. One of my adversaries died last week. He was a man by the name of Rob Skiba. I met him at a conference we did together in Branson, Missouri. And he had heard me talk and said he kind of liked some of the things I said, wanted maybe we could get together and do some things together. And I said, well, okay. And I wanted to know, I just wanted to hear what he believed about the Bible. And I when I said the word King James, I mean, he came unglued. And we kind of got into it right then and there. And I thought, I'm just not going to have anything to do with this guy. And so I said some things publicly about him. I told everybody, watch out for this guy. I think he's dangerous. He later turned Hebrew roots. All that stuff where you got to say the name Yeshua, you got to say Yehovah or Yahuwah or Yahweh. You can't say God, you can't say Lord. That's a mistake. The King James is full of errors. And he just made all kinds of ridiculous statements. And then he went flat earth. And while he was Hebrew roots, he was still getting invitations to go speak at these conferences. And as soon as he went flat earth, that was it. He got disinvited. But anyway, I got word that he died last week of a cardiac arrest. Now, I don't like having adversaries, but I think they're good for me, because it's our enemies that keeps us on our knees and keeps us humble. And I don't wish any of them dead. I don't. Because what people believe matters. And especially what people believe about the Bible matters. And he was, in my opinion, an unruly and vain talker and a deceiver. And he was led astray of the circumcision. He was led astray by the Jewish rabbis. He certainly was. Paul said in verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for what? Filthy lucre's sake, for money. They want that money. They crave that money. They will monetize YouTube videos and say outlandish, outrageous things in order to get views. The more views they get, the more ad revenue they get, the more money they get, the more hits that they get on their whatever page they have. They've got advertisements all around that page. They've made deals with ad agencies, and ad agencies will just run ads all around their pages. They'll have 10, 15 different ads on every page, and every time they get a hit on that page, every time you read one of their pages, boom, he gets a big sack of money out of it. They're doing it for money. I have not monetized any YouTube video, never will. We don't have ad revenue coming in on our websites, Facebook, YouTube, nowhere. We did have some ad revenue come in from the radio station, but the guy stole it from us. So we don't even get that. Anyway, whose mouths must be stopped. And the reason why they teach what they teach is for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. And he's saying, this witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Not giving heed to what? Jewish fables. 99.9% of the Hebrew roots teaching comes from the Jewish rabbis' fables. It comes from a book called the Zohar, which is nearly impossible to understand the meaning of the Zohar. It is written as a book of fables and stories. And it was written after Paul wrote this to Titus. So it wasn't that Paul knew about it because it was being done then. I think the Holy Ghost told him to write it down because it was going to be done. And the Holy Ghost knew it. Not giving heed to these Jewish fables. And the Zohar is full of parables and fables and make-believe stories that have secret meanings to them that most Jews in their lifetime will never understand the true meaning behind it. Madonna says she is a follower of this Jewish mysticism. I forgot the word of it.
Kabbalah.
That she is a follower of Kabbalah. Let me tell you something. She will read and study Kabbalah books all her life, and she will never grasp their content. She will never understand their content. And beside that, the Jewish rabbis who promote Kabbalah come right out and say, since she's not a genetic of the Jewish bloodline, she'll never make it anyway because she's not a Jew. Yes.
One thing that's interesting about it is I have a background in that that they strictly forbid anybody who practices it to research it.
Yeah.
You can't look into it because they're terribly afraid that you're going to find out the occult ground roots of it.
Yeah. It is everything. Think of it as everything God told the Israelites not to learn when they went into Canaan land. God said, when you get into Canaan land, you're going to see their religion. You're going to see their temples, their idols, their religious things. God said, don't do it. Burn their temples down, destroy their images, burn their books, get rid of everything, and don't learn a thing from them. And the first thing the Jews did when they got in town is, where's the temple at? And they did. They stole all that stuff and put it into their ideology of who God was. Anyway, let's see here. Verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure. Now read that again. Read that to yourself. Unto the pure, all things are pure. Now, if God has purified you and sanctified you, you will not have a problem looking at this book and saying, there are no mistakes in this book. You'll not have a problem with that. You'll look in here and say, well, the Bible says it's pure words. I believe it's pure words. I believe they've been as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. I believe God kept them from this generation forever. I believe heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That's what I believe. I believe the Bible cannot be wrong ever in anything it says. And that's what he's getting at. Under the pure, all things are pure. Now, this man that we had with us Wednesday night, I want you to pray for him, because he said he followed our ministry for years, and he came across a portion of scripture that it was in the Old Testament, and I'm not going to get into all that, but he said it made him angry that would be in God's word. And he stumbled at the rock of offense and the stone of stumbling. He stumbled. And he said, from that point, I got into the bottle. And he told me some other things. I'll just keep the rest of that to myself. But that's what happened to him. And he came by here specifically to ask me to pray for him. I prayed for him when he was outside. He sat in church Wednesday night, he's bawling his eyes out, tears flowing down. He came down here, he sat down here, and I laid hands on him and prayed for him again, and he was just crying. His name is Anthony Barbarossa. For some reason, he showed me his driver's license, and I remembered his name. I don't remember names very well, but I remembered his. But you pray for him, because he has tripped over something in the Bible, and it hurt him. He wants to come back. He's got a lot of baggage on him, but it's not anything that God can't handle. Amen. So anyway, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. So what they teach in most colleges and in most churches, there is no Bible that's perfect. There is no translation that's right. You must correct it with Greek and Hebrew. And even at that, the Greek is changing all the time. They're going to come out with a 28th revision of the Greek text, and then they're going to come out with the 29th revision of the Greek text, and then they're going to come out with the 30th revision of the Greek text, and it's always ever changing. The Bible's ever changing what it's saying. So to the pure, all things appear, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled, is what the Bible says. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. That's what God says about them. Hang on to this book. Believe what it says. Trust me when I tell you this. It'll save your neck one of these days. It will. It will save your life. It will save your hide. It will save your soul. It will keep you from putting a gun in your mouth. It will. The words of this book will save everything about you that's worth saving. When you get to a place where you think that there is no hope and nothing can help, turn to this book. It will help. Promise you. Hebrews chapter 3. Turn there. Man, I got to get through this today. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4. For every house is builded by some man. Isn't that right? Try telling that to an evolutionary professor. Try telling that to someone who believes in evolution. Every house is built by some man, correct? But not to them. They believe the whole universe. And now since they have a telescope now, the web telescope out in space is meant to do one thing, and that is detect planets around stars. And they've detected what they think are, it's possible, about 4,000 planets that are in the habitable zone, like planet Earth is, around their sun. That it's possible that they have found about 4,000 planets where it is possible that life could exist on those planets. Now, you have to ask the question, How hard was it to get life to develop on this planet? What were the chances that it was never going to happen? And yet, they believed that all the hundreds of thousands of different life forms on this planet developed by accident. And yet, they believe it's possible there's 4,000 more planets where it happened there too. No, that's stupid. Every house is builded by some man. Everything that is structured and ordered was put that way by somebody with some smarts. Amen? Even monkeys can build little habitations. The neatest thing I ever saw in my life. I love this. There's a bird somewhere in Africa. I wasn't paying attention when I watched it. A bird somewhere in Africa that builds this big, huge dirt nest. And it once it builds the nest, big, tall thing, and a big hole in it about like this, and it goes around picking up little pieces of sticks and leaves and shoves it down in there. And then it waits. It waits for it to rain. And when it rains, it sticks its beak down in there and waits for all them sticks and leaves to start composting. Because what happens when things compost? They warm up. That bird has a temperature sensor on its beak, and it knows the exact temperature that needs to be. And when it's at the exact temperature, it'll shoot an egg down in there. And it'll monitor the temperature. And if it gets too warm, it'll pull some of that stuff out. If it gets too cold, it'll put some leaves back in, let it rain a little bit. It'll constantly monitor the temperature of that compost in there so that egg has the right temperature to hatch. And you want to tell me that bird developed that by accident? You want to tell me that? You can call me the idiot if you want. That's stupid to believe that bird did that by itself. That's stupid to believe that. Amen? All right. He that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. The day when the 12 spies came back and said, 10 of them said, we can't go in. But Joshua and Caleb was begging them, saying, yes, we can. God said we can go in. Let's believe God. Let's hold on to what God said, and God will give us that land. And that would have saved them 40 years of wandering and dying in the wilderness. But every one of them died in the wilderness except Joshua and Caleb. And we'll preach that this morning. Every one of them died in the wilderness except those two men. Why? They just stopped. They just didn't believe God. Everything that God had done for them, they still just didn't believe it. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let's hold fast our profession. Hold on to what you believe. Don't let it go. Don't be ashamed of it either. Don't be ashamed of who you are, what you are, what God's made you. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. See, but you say, but my, Pastor Mike, you just don't understand. I have so much sin in my life. So, Christ knows about your infirmities. He knows about every one of them. And remember, he came down here and was tested and tempted like as we are. And he knows what it's like. So we have a great high priest who can have compassion on us sinners and have mercy on us. And you might say, I've done things that are just too bad. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. God can save the chief of sinners, can he not? That's what Paul said. So he said, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That morning that Bradley Crum came on a Sunday morning to our church for the very first time. I've been talking to him for years, giving him videos to watch. He was in the Mormon church. They didn't like his girlfriend, and it made him mad. They told him he was going to have to leave his girlfriend because she wasn't a Mormon. Well, that burned him. That made him mad. And he came over to me that morning, and he said something to me. And he said, you know, when we confess our sins to the bishop over there. And I went, do what? And he said, yeah, we have to confess our sins to the bishop at that Mormon church. I said, are you kidding me? He said, no, we have to. And I looked him right in the eye and I said, I guarantee you, you didn't tell him everything, did you? He looked down at the ground and he said, no. And I quoted this verse, therefore let us come boldly under the throne of grace. And he finished it, we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I said, you can tell God everything, can't you? He said, yeah, I can. I said, why don't you? You can't tell a man everything and you know it. You don't want that bishop to find out everything there is to know about you, but you can tell God. And that morning changed his life. Changed his life. Hold fast these things, people. You're going to need them one of these days. How many of you guys have got a shed full of stuff that you have said for the last 40 years, I better hang on to this because I might need it one of these days? Raise your hand. Don't let go of it, because you just might need it one of these days. Do what? Yeah. It's buried under the other stuff that you won't get rid of either. Don't let go of this. Amen. Father, bless your word. Bless these people this morning. I love them. You love them more than I do. And God, just help us, dear God, to hold fast the things, God, that you've taught us, the things we've learned. Hold fast these words and understand, God, that they're words that came all the way down from heaven to us men. Father, help us, dear God, to think on them, to pray as we think on them, to share it with others, to use it to build our lives, our families, our homes. Use it to build this church and strengthen and fortify this church. Use it, dear God, as we minister to people around the world, as we do the work that you've given us to do. Let it be the work of this book. Bless this book, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.